In the first Quran, the Quran told us what happened. And we have already exhausted that. And now the second Quran. Quran means the second time, the second age, the second people. Quranain means the two people, the two ages. So if in the first Quran, this is what happened, what is going to be the second Quran? What are the signs of the second Quran? And we have already said, our methodology is that since the first Quran emerged in the region of the Black Sea, Siddiq, can we get picture, please? The Black Sea. Since the first Quran emerged in the region of the Black Sea, of which Crimea is the heart, commands the whole Black Sea, we say that this, the sign of the second Quran is that power will again re-emerge in the region of the Black Sea. And that power will rest on the foundations of faith, faith in the Lord God. And those who follow Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, we have never claimed that we are the only ones who have faith. No, that's for the schoolboys. There's the Black Sea out there. So it is in that region, the Black Sea region, that you're going to find power re-emerging. And there is Crimea. It's a peninsula jutting down from the north into the Black Sea. And whoever controls Crimea controls power in the whole Black Sea. And so now, when the second Quran is to occur, power will re-emerge in that region of the world. And power will rest on the foundations of faith. That power will be used to punish the wicked, those who are oppressors. And that power, most important of all, will be used to resist Gog and Magog. Who are Gog and Magog? We have already explained the Quran that Gog and Magog have a link with a certain city. In fact, they'll all die in that city. It's Jerusalem. That's what our prophet said. And so there is a link between Gog and Magog and a city. And Allah has said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anbiya, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وحرام على قرية أهلكناها أنهم لا يرجعون. That a town or a city was destroyed by Allah. The people were expelled. And then Allah placed a ban on them that they can never return to reclaim that city as their own. Hatta, except until إِذَا فُتِحَتْ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ, until Gog and Magog are futihat, 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 released. Ba'atha means to send, send. Futihat means to release, futihat. إِذَا فُتِحَتْ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ, when Gog and Magog are released. وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ, and they spread out in all directions. And with their indestructible power, because no worldly power can stand under them, only Allah can destroy them. With their indestructible power, they take control of power in the world. Then these people will be brought back to that town. Which town it is? Jerusalem. This is the only town or city connected with Gog and Magog, Jerusalem. And so now we can identify Gog and Magog. They are the ones who brought the Jews back to Jerusalem 2,000 years after they were expelled. If I am wrong, tell me what's the explanation for the return of the Jews to Jerusalem 2,000 years after they were expelled. Where is the explanation in the Quran? This book is Tibyanan li kulli shay. This book explains all things. Where is the explanation in the Quran other than the one that I've given? Why are you so silent? You've been criticizing me for 25 years now. Why are you so tongue-tied and silent now? You have nothing to say? So Gog and Magog are those who control power in the modern Western world. And Zulkarnain, on the first occasion, he resisted Gog and Magog. And he checked them. And he contained them behind a barrier. And the world was safe. So in the second Karn, this is going to happen again. Power which will emerge in the region of the Black Sea, will not only punish the wicked, punish the oppressors, but this power will check the modern West, those who control power, NATO. NATO, the most powerful organization in the modern West. This power in the region of the Black Sea will contain and check NATO and eventually contain NATO, so NATO is harmless. This is my first sign of power emerging in the Black Sea, in foundations, which is foundations of faith. When we seek to identify that power, there are those who say, oh, we don't consider this to be the second card, because these people, they worship Jesus as God, and they have the Trinity, and Allah condemns it in the Quran. And my answer to you, it is you're not the one to decide. Who do you think you are? It is Allah who will decide, not you. So you can take your criticisms and put it away. We're not interested in your criticism. Allah will decide. And you will see whether you like it or whether you don't, whether you're comfortable with it, you are not. It is irrelevant. When you see that power re-emerging in the region of the Black Sea, and that power is founded on faith, and that power is capable of resisting NATO, eventually containing NATO and rendering NATO harmless to the world, your criticisms are now invalid. This is valid. So we have to wait, we have to be alert, and we have to be observing to recognize that power when it emerges. The second sign of the second Karn is that that power emerging in the region of the Black Sea on the foundations of faith, you must see that power rewarding those who have faith and who are righteous in conduct and assisting them, people who have righteousness of conduct. When you see that sign of this power intervening in the world to help those who have faith and who are righteous in conduct, you know this is the second Karn. And then we said the third sign is that when that power emerges in the region of the Black Sea on the foundations of faith, and it's capable of checking NATO and containing NATO, that power must be seen looking eastwards, not westwards. It has to be a Euro-Asian power rather than a European power. And as it moves eastward, it shows its interest eastwards, you will see that power protecting and preserving a way of life in the region of the Caspian Sea. Siddiq, let us see the Caspian Sea again. The second picture. In the region of the Caspian Sea, a people living the natural way of life. And the natural way of life is that men would marry women. And you have a family unit. And the family unit is comprised of a father. There's a Caspian Sea and there's a Black Sea. So in the region of the Caspian Sea, which is Azerbaijan, and next to Azerbaijan is Armenia. Are we not concerned about north of the Caucasus Mountains? We're concerned about south. So not Dagestan and so on. South of the Caucasus Mountains, in the region of the Caspian Sea, you will find a people who live the natural way of life. And the natural way of life is where a man marries a woman, and so you have father and mother and children. The man may have several wives, but still, it's a family unit. And the family unit is the foundation of society. If you turn westwards where the sun is setting, you will find a man marrying another man, which is an unnatural way of life. You can't build a family with that nonsense. And a woman marrying another woman, which is an unnatural way of life. So forget the west and turn to the east. That is what the Quran is saying. That in the second Quran, as you turn east, you see a people preserving the natural way of life. And those of you who are in Armenia and you're listening to my words, you must be smiling now, because you know how much efforts have been made to destroy you over these last so many centuries. And if you're in Azerbaijan and you're listening to me, you also must be smiling, because you know this is our way of life. There are those who roll over us and want to get the Christian and the Muslim to hate each other. We're not going to fall in that trap. That is the trap from Dajjal, and we are not so stupid to follow Dajjal. And we're going to reach out to our Christian brothers and our Muslim brothers and try to live the natural way of life, in which Christians and Muslims join together to live as a family. So there is the third sign. And now we come to the, that was the fourth sign. And now we come to the fifth sign. Number one, we said, in the region of the Black Sea, power emerges. It contains NATO. It resists NATO. Number two, that power moves in the direction of the east, the rising of the sun. It preserves number two, it rewards those who have faith and righteous conduct and treat them nicely. Number three is that it moves eastwards and preserves the natural way of life. Number four. And now number five, what about when the second Khan comes and Gog and Magog are contained as they were the first time? And no more can they go come down now, because of hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Sahih Muslim. It said, when Gog and Magog are released, when the barrier is broken, Allah breaks it down, then the first of them will pass by the Sea of Galilee on the way to Jerusalem and start to drink the water. This is not this is not actual drinking. No, this is consumption of the water and also destruction of the water. They start to drink the water. And by the time the last of them pass, they say, there used to be water here. They're on their way to Jerusalem. So now we said, the reason why there's going to be a last of them, the reason why, is because in the second Quran, they're going to be blocked, as they were the first time. So no more will be able to come down from behind the barrier. Dhulqarnain is going to block them the second time. This is why you have the last of them passing. And this will be at the time when Jesus returns, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. But does Dhulqarnain have any mission down south in Jerusalem? That's the question we ask today. And we've never asked it before. This is the first time we're doing it in this program. Is there a foreign policy? Is there a particular errand and a mission for Dhulqarnain pertaining to Gog and Magog in the region of Jerusalem? And the answer is no. Even though Dhulqarnain represents the dominant power in the world in Akhiru Zaman, yet He does not have, Zulkarnain does not have a mission in Jerusalem. Yes, I'm saying this for the first time. So don't ask me questions. Why this is happening? Why that? Now I'm explaining to you. Because Islamic eschatology does not locate any mission for Zulkarnain pertaining to Gog and Magog in Jerusalem. No, no. Zulkarnain is in that region from the Black Sea to the Caspian Sea and the Caucasus Mountains to block them there a second time. So NATO, you're going to be blocked. I don't know the second time how it's going to be. The first time with blocks of iron with copper. Blocks of iron and copper. And the second time, I said, it's likely to be the Great War. And so therefore, since Gog and Magog are not going to be attacked by Zulkarnain in Jerusalem, who will deal with them in Jerusalem? If a Christian people are not going to do it, and of course, both the first Karn and the second Karn are Christians, then who will deal with them in Jerusalem? And my answer is, it is the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. It is the Muslim army which will liberate Jerusalem. Now then, can we identify the second Karn? I said Christian. Who are those who have power in the world in the second Karn? And I go to, I leave Zulkarnain now to seek to identify the second Karn. To go to Islamic eschatology now, and this is a fascinating subject now, it is the location of the stars. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. You have to be able to connect the stars to read them. Similarly, you have to connect the verses of the Quran to be able to understand the subject. And mashallah, 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 we have scholars. Oh yes, we have scholars who've been doing that in a very humble way all over the world. Small people, yes. They've not heard about their names. But there are people who have been doing that, yes. I was a young man when I heard someone in Chicago, an Indian scholar in Chicago, with a conference. And I sat in amazement at the young man when this man started to connect verses of the Quran, this one to that one to that one. Of course, I didn't know methodology at that time. And so now let's do the work of connecting the dots, connecting the verses. Nabi Isa alayhi salam is on the cross. They want to crucify him. Forget those who say he was never on the cross. Your views are irrelevant. We don't want to waste your time. Stay away from us. Nabi Isa alayhi salam is on the cross. And he's about to be crucified. And he does not know what's going to happen. They want to crucify him. And then Allah speaks to him. And this conversation is recorded in the Quran. What does Allah say to him? What does Allah speak and say to Jesus while he's on the cross? He says, Ya Isa, O Jesus. This is direct speech. Ya Isa, inni mutawaffik, I'm going to take your soul. This is the only honest translation of the verse. Don't tell me, I'm going to take you. Take what? Take your wallet, take your hair, take what? Take your comb? No, I'm going to take your soul. That is what it means. I'm going to take your soul. Inni mutawaffik, warafiuka ilik. Having taken the soul, if he does not return it, then he's dead. Having taken the soul, if Allah does not return it, then you're dead. Shall I repeat it another time? But Allah says, no, they did not kill him. He did not crucify him. So the implication, even a schoolboy should be able to understand, is that Allah took the soul and then returned it. That's the only possible explanation. There is no third one, that rubbish, that nonsense, that absolute foolishness about how he went to Kashmir and he died and he was buried in Kashmir. Take that rubbish and throw it in the garbage bin. And so, in Nimut Tawfiq, I'm going to take your soul and then return it, of course. وَرَافِيُكَ إِلَيْهِ And I'm going to raise you unto myself. So he's not in Jannah. He's with Allah. How can Allah take someone unto himself? Allah can do whatever he wants. He is فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ Your puny little mind can understand all things. Your scientific and technological revolution can understand all things. This is beyond this material universe. Science can't go beyond the material universe. The human spirit doesn't belong to the material universe. No. وَمُتَحِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ And I'm going to cleanse you of what they have said about you, those who have rejected you. And alhamdulillah, today nobody can stand up anywhere in the world and say, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ هَذَا That he was a bastard and his mother committed zina and all this rubbish. Nobody can say that. Well, you could do it yesterday, but no more. وَمُتَحِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا And now listen. وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ And I'm going to cause those who follow you. And Imran Hussein does not follow Jesus. If you say you are a follower of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and then you make this reckless and stupid statement that you also are a follower of Jesus, you should go back to school. Go back to school. وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ And I'm going to cause those who follow you. Those who follow him are called Nasara. Nasara. They don't belong to the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Stop that nonsense. وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا And I'm going to cause those who follow you, O Jesus. Those who follow you, O Jesus. I'm not talking about following Santa Claus, eh? Where a man can marry another man and get a marriage certificate. I'm talking about following Jesus. Those who follow you, I'm going to raise them to a position of dominance over those who reject you, which is NATO. So where are those who in Akhiru Zaman will have the power to resist NATO and to contain NATO? Answer, it will be those who follow Jesus. The true followers of Jesus will do it. And so now we are moving forward in identification of the second incarnation. But there are those who come after me. Oh, no, they have the Trinity and they worship Jesus. How can they be considered believers? No, Allah Ta'ala will not help them. Allah Ta'ala will not do that for them. You cannot be a Christian people who have the Trinity and who worship Jesus as God and the Son of God. Well, I have a surprise for you. Yes, the Quran condemns the Trinity. And the Quran orders you desist from saying three. Yes, the Quran condemns those who say that Jesus is the Son of God, that God has a Son and Son. Condemns it with strong language. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ Terrible are those words, says Allah, that you utter with your lips, that he has a son when he has no wife. Eh? But now look, there's a surah of the Quran called Surah Ar-Rum. And in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah speaks about Rum. And he says, غُلِبَتِ Rum, the Rum has been defeated. فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ in a land close by. فِي بِدْءِ السِّنِينَ But Rum will be victorious in a few years. But they will be victorious after this defeat. In just a few years, they will be victorious. Oh, it's Rome. The answer, without any shadow of a doubt, forget those who never went to school. They don't understand anything. Rome is Constantinople. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Rome is Constantinople. It is the Christian world which followed, the Israelite world which followed Jesus, accepted him. And when they were expelled, all were expelled from Jerusalem, they came, Allah gave them Constantinople. And when they came to Constantinople, Allah allowed them to conquer it. And they attempted to create another holy state in Constantinople. This is Rome. This is Rome. And Constantinople, that is the Holy Byzantine Empire, was defeated by the Persian Empire. But Allah then sent down revelation to declare, وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. But they, even after this defeat, they will be victorious. فِي بِدْعِ سِنِينَ, in just a few years, they will be victorious. مِنْ قَبْلِ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ. They were victorious the first time. And they will again be victorious the second time. بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And they will be victorious because Allah will help them. But these are a people in Constantinople who already had the Trinity and Allah helped them. They were already worshipping Jesus as the Son of God and Allah helped them. So where are your criticisms now? Even though Allah condemned it, yet Allah helped them. بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah helped them, and it's because of Allah's help that they were victorious. So this is my response to your objections. Go back and study the Quran. And so now, مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ. They were victorious the first time, and they'll be victorious the second time as well. When will the second one come? I am saying to you, connect the verses. This is the second Qarn of Zulqarnain. And then we have, is it Surah An-Naml? And Sulaiman alayhi salam got to know about the Queen of Sheba, of Bilqis, of Saba, sorry. And that wonderful throne that she had, but that they worshipped the sun, and that she was the ruler, a woman ruling over the state. And this was not acceptable. Yeah, you can have your vote for Benazir, but not in the Quran. Yeah, the Quran is different. You get guidance somewhere, we get guidance from the Quran. That only men can rule over the state, not women. No, and a people who choose a woman to rule over them will never be successful. Who said that? Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You could take your objections and throw it into a garbage bin. Don't waste our time with your objections. Don't waste our time with your objection. Take it and throw it into a garbage bin. A people who choose a woman to rule over them will never be successful. Those were his words. So Sulaiman alayhi salam sent an order to her to come to him in a state of submission. But he then asked, when he heard about this throne of hers, and he knows she has to come to him, he asked, who can bring me this throne? This is 2,000 kilometers. This is Jerusalem, and that is Yemen. And Ifrit, which is a jinn, the most powerful of all jinn, in the court, said to him, I can bring you that throne before you rise from your throne, from this court. Which means that this Ifrit, this jinn, this most powerful of jinn, has the capacity to travel at lightning speed from Jerusalem all the way to Yemen, and then bring an object as big as the throne, bring it through space and time within a short period of time. If you could do that with a throne, you could do that with a missile. And so the jinn are capable of assisting human beings to develop missile technology. And that's why modern Western civilization succeeded with their missile technology. But then said someone in the court who has the knowledge of the book, this is Surah An-Naml, that book is not the Quran. It's not the Gospel, it's not the Psalms of David, Nabi Dawood, it's not the Torah, it's another book. It is a book which deals with travel through space and time, a book in what we may call aerodynamics. That is the book. And someone has knowledge of that book of aerodynamics with Allah. And that one said, I can bring you that throne before you can wink your eyes. Meaning, not literally wink your eyes, meaning, I can bring it to you at a speed far greater than what these jinn can do. And so there is a technology in the world that will make it possible for missiles to fly at a speed faster, much faster than anything that modern Western civilization can produce. And when that technology comes to the world, if you have an aircraft carrier and war breaks out, you've got to hide that aircraft carrier somewhere. You've got to hide it, because whoever has that technology will be able to destroy all your aircraft carriers before you could even wink, meaning at a speed so fast that you cannot protect yourself. And so we are saying now, you know the second Quran. This is how I'm now ending my talk. You will know the second Quran. When a power emerges in the region of the Black Sea with a breakthrough in aerodynamics, allowing it to send missiles flying at a speed greater than anything that mankind has ever witnessed before. And therefore to be able to destroy the whole of the United States and Canada in half an hour. In half an hour. Now then, we now go to Surah As-Saff. And finally, Allah speaks. I'm connecting the verses for you now. I couldn't do it last week. In Surah As-Saff, the Quran at the end, Allah speaks and He says, فَآمَنَ الطَّائِفَةُ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلُ وَكَفَرَ الطَّائِفَةُ. The part of the Israelite people believed in the Messiah and part rejected Him, the Messiah being Jesus. That part which accepted Him, Allah strengthened them. And as a consequence of Allah's strengthening, فَأَيَّدْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, Allah strengthened them and they were able to become dominant over their enemies. And that dominance will continue, will persist. And over there, Allah, when He spoke about that dominance, He says it will continue إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Ya Isa, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِيُكَ إِلَيَّ وَمُتَحِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Now listen, إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And so they will remain the dominant power in the world until the end of the world. When will you go to the Quran for knowledge? The Quran has knowledge, not where you're looking. Here is the knowledge. And so a people who follow Jesus, truly followers of Jesus, will become the dominant power in the world, not just in the region of the Black Sea, A dominant power in the world, dominating over those who rejected him, which is NATO. And they will remain in that position of dominance until the end of the world. What? Now that we have identified them, what is the relationship of that community of Christians with these people, the Muslims who follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? Here is the verse of the Quran which explains, give that answer to that question. It is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and time is running out for me. Allah says in the Quran that at that time, when the Jews are most hostile of all to you, and another people who are founded on shirk, they are the most hostile of all to you, you will find a people who declare we are Christians, that these will be the closest in love and affection for you. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ نَصَارَى. There are Christians who are going to be listening. There are Christians who are going to be listening to this talk, listening to what Allah is saying in the Quran. There will be tears in their eyes because Allah is saying to them that you are going to be closest in love and affection to those who follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is because you have the institution of priesthood with you. It's not abandoned. The priest still has a dominant position in society, a position of respect. The priest is not a pedophile. Number two, you still have the institution of monasticism. You honor the monastery, the monk. You preserve it. Your monastery is not Kentucky Fried. And number three, because you're not an arrogant people. You don't have this exceptionalism. We are the chosen of the Lord God. And we are superior to all of mankind. You are humble people. You are not arrogant. You don't want to rule the world. That's why you will be closest in love and affection to me and to my people. And so this is the relationship between the two people in Akhiru Zaman. That Christian world and this Muslim world will be together in closest love and affection. Gog and Magog want to build a global society of godlessness. But we will not be a part of it, who truly follow Muhammad. The ones who don't wear a face mask to go in the masjid for salat. No, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about those who follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. The ones who will not stand 3 feet apart with social distancing in some masjid in the United States. Not those monstrously misguided people who are following Dajjal. I'm talking about those who follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who stand shoulder to shoulder. These people, this ummah, will not be a part of that global society of Gog and Magog, because when Zulkarnain built the barrier, he said, "Hadha rahmatu min Rabbi." This barrier is an act of kindness from my Rabb. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَاءَهُ دَكَّاءَ وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقًّا. Allah is going to bring down the barrier. When Allah brings down the barrier, what's going to happen? Now listen. وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضٍ. There's going to be constant warfare in the world. يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضٍ. All the time Gog and Magog creating warfare all over the world. Friction, conflict, crashing with each other. An age of warfare. وَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمَعًا. وَنُفِكَ فِي السُّورِ فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمَعًا. And then the trumpet will be sounded. This is a trumpet within Akhiru Zaman, not in the last, after Akhiru Zaman. And Allah is going to bring them all together, all those who follow Gog and Magog. And Allah says about them that there will be 999 out of every 1,000 in the world. I call them the Blue Jeans Jamaat. The Blue Jeans Jamaat. Because they all live the same way of life. and they all have the smartphone, and they're all hooked to the modern world of speed. They want the fast lane of life. They are not prepared to move out of the cities to the remote country. If we go to the remote countryside, we die. We can't live there. We need a town. Only 1 in 1,000 will not be the people of Gog and Magog. Only 1 in 1,000. And these are the ones for heaven. And 4 times in Sahih Bukhari, 4 times Allah says, that 999 of Akhir al-Zaman will be Ahlu Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and they're all going into Jahannam. So now then, shall we follow that global society of Gog and Magog? The Christian will not do that. And the Muslim must not do that. So if you are in Armenia, here's my word to you, stay with the natural way of life and don't follow Gog and Magog. If you are the Muslim in Pakistan, in Egypt, I say, stay with the natural way of life, the Sunnah, and don't follow Gog and Magog with the social distances. But Allah says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِيَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They will not be content until they get you to follow them. Follow them in performing your salat 3 feet apart. Follow them with a face mask in your masjid. I am not going to pray in any masjid where the imam is in a face mask and the jamaat in 3 feet apart, social distancing. This has been my last talk on Gog and Magog. My time is now up. This is my last talk on Zulkarnain. Next week we'll now commence with Dajjal. But I believe I had enough time to give enough of the subject. And may Allah bless now those who study ilmu akhir al-zaman. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Innal hamdalillah. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليك ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له